Hello, boys and girls. Today, we're going to talk about the earth burning up with fire. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Hi, you're at Zender Talk. Second Peter 3, I'm Martin Zender. Verse 8. Oh, boys and girls, let's go directly to verse 10. Now, the day of the Lord will be arriving as a thief, in which the heavens shall be passing by with a booming noise. Yet the elements shall be dissolved by combustion, and the earth and the works in it shall be found. At these all, then, dissolving, to what manner of men must ye belong in holy behavior and devoutness, hoping for and hurrying the presence of God's day, because of which the heavens, being on fire, will be dissolved, and the elements decomposed by combustion. All right. Yet we, according to his promises, are hoping for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness is dwelling. Okay, kids, do we have any questions?
I'm scared!
Yeah, I know what you mean. You would think that, you wonder why God is so infatuated with fire, but you have to really look closely at the fire to find out of what kind it is. Remember, God is ultimately a God of love. All these fires and combustions and dissolvements, is that a word? Thought so. These are all part of his process bringing us to a goal. I want to show you the difference between the Lord's Day and God's Day. The Lord's Day is the coming eon, the 1,000 years of peace, when Jesus rules on earth with the 12 disciples who sit on 12 thrones. I know I keep repeating this, but I want you to understand that God works in time periods called eons, and there are two great eons ahead of us. We're in what is called the current wicked eon. There have been two eons that have gone before. Didn't mean to get into a study of the eons. I wanted to talk about the new heavens and the new earth, but in God's great plan of the eons, there are five eons. Galatians 1:4 calls this the present wicked eon. Jesus spoke of the eon to come. That's the 1,000 years. And then there's an eon after that, the new heavens and the new earth. Now, the Lord's Day is the 1,000 years. And during the Lord's Day, at the end of it, is when this current heavens and earth shall pass by with a booming noise. Kaboom! That's going to be loud. You probably want to wear your earplugs. The elements are going to be dissolved by combustion. This is a chemical change that's going to destroy this present earth. Now, you think of a bad thing. It's going to destroy the earth, but it's going to cleanse it. It's going to make it better. It's going to improve it. Remember, you say, well, why are you destroying this regenerated earth on which Christ is ruling? Because, again, it's still not perfection. God's doing a new thing. And I'm making this point over and over again, because when I go to 1 Corinthians 15, and when I talk to you about how God deals with mankind, you're going to see that this is not the only era where men and women are saved. The preachers today tell you that you got to believe today, and if you don't, then you're going to go to hell for eternity. They also think that the kingdom that's coming is the last great thing God's going to do. No, God is progressive. It's in the eras to come that we're going to see some magnificent works. And to think that his plan of salvation is over after this life, it's ridiculous. It's juvenile. It shows a total ignorance of the scriptures, a total ignorance of what God is doing and how slowly he progresses. This all goes back to what I said to you before, about maybe it was 2 weeks ago, about waiting to the end of the movie, right? You have to wait to see what God's going to do. And I'm repeating that again and again to get it into your head to keep looking in Scripture. Keep asking the question, what happens next? All those people in the lake of fire, which is the second death, well, that's the end of them. No, my question is, what happens to them next? They're not there forever because God abolishes death. But I'm getting ahead of myself. That's in 1 Corinthians 15. Anyway, look what Peter says. These then dissolving, to what manner of men must you belong in holy behavior and devoutness, hoping for and hurrying the presence of God's day. See, we're contrasting the Lord's day with God's day. This new heavens and earth is God's day, because of which the heavens, being on fire, will be dissolved, and the elements decomposed by combustion. Yet we, according to his promises, are hoping for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness is dwelling. One of the main differences between the coming eon and the new heavens and the new earth that follows it is that there is no temple, there's no priesthood, there's no go-between. That's why it's called God's day. God himself dwells with mankind somehow. I mean, God can't be located, right? He's everywhere. He's spirit. But this is a more intimate relationship because there's no intermediaries. There is no priesthood on this new earth. So let's go to some of the details of God's day as contrasted with the Lord's day. What's this? Man's day. You see how all this makes sense? Scripture calls this is man's day, when man is shown his incapability. Man is shown to be an incompetent ruler, an ignoramus, cannot make anything happen. The best thing you can see today is the world falling apart. It's supposed to be that way. You can't force things to happen in man's day that aren't supposed to happen until the Lord's day. And you can't force things to happen in the Lord's day that aren't going to happen until God's day. And you can't even force things to happen in God's day that are not supposed to happen until a time Paul calls the consummation. Woo! I'm making so much sense here, it's making me crazy. Man's day. The preachers are trying to save everybody right now. No, this is man's day. It's the era of humiliation. My friend Roger's trying to, not a friend, he's an acquaintance. Roger, you're not my friend, you're an acquaintance. Roger's trying to raise people from the dead. In man's day, duh! In the Lord's day, your shadow's going to fall on people and boo, they're going to be walking around healed, all this stuff, no problem. But there's still death operating. Ah, you don't want death? Then you're going to have to wait till God's day, when there's no death on the earth. But there's still people who are dead. If you want to get rid of death itself, you can't do that until the consummation. 1 Corinthians 15:26, when God abolishes death. I'm telling you, what happens next? What happens next? What happens next? You're supposed to be asking that question constantly. Preachers aren't doing it today. They're robbing you of 90% of God's program. This is the only age of salvation. Believe or die. Oh my gosh, they haven't a clue. They're only looking at the briefest, tiniest little part of God's program. I'm out of time. Haven't even gotten to Revelation 21. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow, boys and girls. I hope you're here tomorrow for more combustion, more flaming good times in the Word of God. I'm Martin Zender. Goodbye, everybody.